not the approach I want us to take. Let them at a college. Let them explain to us the changes, page by page, so that we know what are these changes. If there are material changes, what we have, we can do, is actually to ignore this, the changed version. Because again, there is a report that is before us, that was submitted, which is known by everybody. In those are major changes, we may then say we are not going to entertain the new report. We will only be dealing with the report that you have sent tabled to us, because that report is tabled. That's the procedure I'm getting as I talk to other members. Let me hear. Honorable CCC will go through this way.
Us discussing what can be concluded to be not the report that they wanted to table anyway, because they can say so, but without concluding, let's get to hear from the our legal staff, let them advise us, because I'm sure they've been able to go through both reports, and after that we can bring them in. Of course, we can't conclude without them getting to present themselves. Then we can then conclude. That is my plea, so that we don't at face value suggest whether the changes are fundamental or not. Mm-hmm. But let the legal exercise take its route, so that we can take it from there. At least they are here, but now, unlike Grasa that is outside. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The document that we are talking of is a document, legal document, meaningful, and is a public document. It has been tabled in the ATC. And now, even if it's correction for spelling or what, because it goes to public, we can't discuss it because it must go to ATC and then we can discuss it after it has been changed. That's my understanding, procedurally. It doesn't matter whether it's a name that has been changed. As long as, because now they must write a letter to Parliament and indicate that these are the changes that have been made to this document. And then it's going to be written to the ATC, and then we can discuss it. But now, when we are discussing documents that has been changed without us and without going through Parliament, I don't know. That's my understanding. It's how I understand this thing. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I concur with my honorable comrades, yeah? But on top of that, I think I'm assuming again that the minister, who is the person who must write to those changes, might not have had sight of those changes. And I think we are just adding on a risk. Without repeating what they've said, I think we are dealing with people who are determined to do as they wish. And it's up to us to say the buck stops here, or else we can just allow them to continue. Now, this document, not only written legal document, but it was presented yesterday. Yesterday. Now, how are we going to determine? And I, at least, I can talk for myself. I had the opportunity of going through every other document that was presented on time. I've read through all of them. This one I didn't read. How am I going to be able to even listen to them telling me whatever they're going to tell me that this has changed? Because I've not even had an opportunity to read the original document. Chairperson, my submission is that let them go back and pay for the cost of coming here to take a chance.
Chairperson, I concur with my comrades here. I also look at the letter that was submitted to us from the Minister's letter on the non-compliance of Section 65 of the Public Finance Management Act. It says here that the ATM concluded the adoption of the annual report on the 26th of September 2019, and the Auditor General requested 3 days to read and finalize the report before tabling to Parliament. It means that this document that they now want us to look at has not even been read by the Auditor General, and it's just a new document that they just haphazardly put together and came here with a chance to speak to us as if we're just some ordinary backyard mechanics waiting for somebody to pitch up one day. They are completely disrespecting this portfolio committee, and that must end today. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, thank you for the opportunity to present our opinion on the matter. It is difficult to discuss the variations that are brought at the drop of a hat, because then essentially what it forces us to do is that if we are going to discuss the first document when there is an existence of a second document, can I implore your attention to when there is an existence of a second document, it presupposes that there will be material differences between the first and the second. And chances are we are now going to discuss the embellishment of the truth, which will make us a very irresponsible committee to do so. So to avoid the risk of listening to embellishment of the truth, I would say let's not even begin. They must get their house in order so that when we engage as a committee of parliament, we engage on truthful representation of facts as they are, and not an embellishment of the truth that's called version 1 and version 2. Thank you.
I think the committee is in agreement that this new document you must not look at. That's what I'm hearing. So let's ignore the new version. That's what the committee says. But having said, there is a version that is with the committee that the minister has seen, that has gone through the ATC, that the minister has written a letter to us and given us reasons why they have submitted late. We have that version with us, electronically. The advice that I've got is that we have a right to say, no, we are not going to entertain this new version. And if we do that, then we must stick with our own version, the one that has gone through all this process that the members have done. Based on that, I think we should not get to a point where we we want to send them packing on the basis of the proposal that they've made of the changes. Let's keep the changes out, as you say. Let's keep them out. I agree. The committee is saying no to this change. But there is a report that we're going to listen to. It's with all of us, and that report, I think, has gone through all the stages. Advocate, am I understanding this correctly? Let me allow you a second.
Sure.
Before you say,
Chair. With due respect,
yeah,
we'll give advocates,
yeah,
after we have spoken about this, because you gave us time to indicate what the committee is saying. Those people have never said they are coming to present the document that they brought before. They are coming with a new document. And when you say they must come and present, they would say, but we have given you the document with changes, of which we are not agreeing with. Remember, here we are representing the people of South Africa that are looking at us. And it's not for the first time that we send people packing if they are bringing Mantlwantlwane here. They must know exactly that they came with the taxpayers' money. Yes. They've spent it in the hotel, but they are bringing a wrong document. We cannot allow them. Thank you.
Advocate, let's allow the advocate to say something.
Chief, the concern we have on the rules is that the committee can only consider the document that has been tabled. A document that is tabled can have spelling errors and may be incorrect, but that reflects on the quality of the document submitted by the entity. In the past, when we've highlighted all the grammatical errors, we've sometimes been told we're a bit harsh. So members will see in our notes we might not have shown that. You'll see even in the document that's tabled, the chairperson signed it off, and the acting group CEO signed it off, even though under his name and his signature it says group CEO, not acting group CEO. So it's just important for members to note that there might be those kinds of errors. Our concern is just that the document that the committee considers must be the document that the minister signed off on. It must be the document that the AG has processed and worked on, because there might be errors in the financial statements that they now try and correct, and that could have been another additional finding that the AG found. We as the team have not seen the new document, so we can't explain to members exactly where the changes were. We've also only learned about it when they walked in. So if the committee agrees, according to how Chairperson proposed, that the committee consider the document that is tabled, errors and all, because that is the document that they've gotten their disclaimer on, and that is the document that the minister has signed off on, then the committee considers it in that aspect. Our concern was just strongly on them wanting to present an amended document, because the minister isn't here to say whether or not he's seen it. AG hasn't seen this new document as far as I know. We haven't even seen it. I'm sure the AG hasn't. But thank you.
In terms of Parliament processes, the document that was, when a document gets tabled, it gets referred from the Speaker to the Committee for Consideration and Report. And this is not the document that was brought. The document that was sent was the one that was tabled yesterday, that we brought copies with and that was sent to members. So when the Speaker says, consider this document and report on it, then we must say which one, and this is not the one that was sent to the committee now, that was the one that was tabled yesterday.
Yeah, so I think we have cleared that. we are all in agreement that the document that was not tabled should not be considered. Again, we only consider the document that was tabled. Yeah, by the speaker to the committee. And it is the document that came yesterday. So. All right, Eva.
Chairperson, thank you, Chairperson. But I'm worried because even themselves, they disown this old document. Because when they brought a new document, it means they are not prepared to talk to this very old document. So how are we going to change that? Because even in their mind, because they already say they want to change, they don't want this document, they want a new document.
We should put that to them. I think let's try to be procedural. I know we have many issues with PRASA. I'm not eradicating that. I'm saying on ourselves, let's not be seen as not wanting to interact and engage them. The understanding is that they can only table the document that has gone through the speaker and the TC and so forth. If they can't do that, then they will go back in. It is not us, it is now there. According to the procedure, let's stay procedural, so that we are not seen also as reacting to them. Okay? If they say yes, yeah, we are going to engage. No, not with the new one, yeah. The new one, we have put it aside now. Sure. Yeah. The old one, we can't put it aside. It has followed all the procedures, to be quite frank. We can only put the new one out of the door and raise whatever we want to raise. I think that's the summary from me. Can you allow them to come in? Call PRASA to come in. Let's put this to them. Yes, Honorable Shaban. You are protected.
We are talking about the very serious matter. And if at all you have to walk up. But sir, what are you saying?
Okay. So, cool down, please. Cool down. I think he's making his point in the near future. I understand that. It's me who said the door must be open. Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. Sorry for having to take this long, chair and the committee. We have deliberated on this issue, and I think we are coming to a point, a decision that says, let's rather stick with the old document that has actually been put through all the processes. With all those flaws, you call them flaws, that will actually assist all of us because the committee feels that, in fact, in terms of procedure, the minister might have not even seen the changes himself. So it is my request to Prasa, Chair, and your team to maybe consider this document that has been seen by everybody. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Honourable Members, and thank you once again for giving us the opportunity to come and present to yourself. We have a presentation that we have presented.
Let me ask them to, anybody who has the on and off of the screen must on the screen. Thank you, Chair. Now you can continue. We have the presentation here. We'll catch up with you as we go, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm really going to give the introduction and present the annual report to the honourable members, and then I will hand over to the executive to continue with the actual details, including the financial statement. Chair and honourable members, we present this report fully aware of the massive challenges that are faced by PRASA during the 2018-19 financial year. And we have summarized these issues in let's say five or six subheadings. The first one being adherence to good corporate governance and ensuring organizational and leadership ability. Arresting the decline in the business performance, particularly in the rail business. Ensuring the availability, reliability, predictable and safe commuter and passenger service. Resolving organizational inefficiencies in the manner in which it deploys and manages its resources. Addressing and fixing the massive irregularities as reported by the public protector, the Auditor General and National Treasury. And lastly, dealing with a declining stakeholder confidence and high rate of customer dissatisfaction against the service that PRASA provided during this period. The annual report that we are about to present will confirm that PRASA still faces a massive cash shortfall on its operational expenditure budget, which has accumulated over several years. And this has been caused by rising operational costs, declining revenues, and a stagnant operational subsidy. Whilst the board has ensured that management implemented a strict containment measures over the years by curbing and cutting costs where absolutely necessary, this sadly has not improved the group's financial position. While the board ensured that management, and this is as a result of cost operating costs increasing at a rate higher than own revenue generated and the subsidy that comes from the department. Total revenue was at 13.7 billion at the end of the financial year, compared to expenses which stood at 15.5 billion. Simply stated, spending more than what you have. The subsidy has been increasing by inflation, while own revenue has been on the decline due to lack of maintenance, vandalism, and theft of assets, and the open nature of the railway system. To achieve at least the above, the board instituted mechanisms that would ensure that the business focus on four key areas. The first one being the protection of people, the infrastructure and assets to ensure that there is availability, that the service is reliable. In order to do this, a security strategy was developed and approved by the board. A safety management framework that guarantees the safety of commuters and passengers was also put into place. The business also focused on an engineering and technical service that ensures reliability and availability of infrastructure and rolling stock. The supply chain management policy that is timely and responds to the demands of the business has been developed and approved, and procurement committees were established at both management and board level. A modernization program that should transform the rail services, as well as, and this is done by an accelerated capital management program that should result in increased spend on CAPEX that has been instituted. Honorable Chair and honorable members, this board will report to you that as we sit today, you will find that stability is being restored at BRASA. Stability in the leadership at executive level. We reported previously that we were about to... I've finished reading, I'm speaking now about what we have done at BRASA. So Chair, I would like to introduce to yourselves three key executives that have started at BRASA. They are the Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Lisiba Lefosu. They are the Group Executive for Human Capital Management, Ms. Thandeka Mabija. And
what is the CFO?
CFO, please stand.
Oh, so this is the new CFO.
Yes.
She was not here when we were there.
No, sir. That's why I would like to introduce her to yourself.
Okay, sure. So, what's the name?
Lisibani Fosu.
Lisibani.
Lisibani Fosu.
Am I calling it all right? Congratulations on your appointment. Who is the next one?
Ms. Thandeka Mabija is the Group Executive for Human Capital Management.
Group Executive.
Yes.
Thandeka Mabija. Yatetangoku. Wow. Congratulations on your appointment.
Finally, the executive that is delayed, but I believe she is on her way here, is Kiabe Simpane. She is the Chief Procurement Officer.
Chief Procurement Officer?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I introduced these executives so that the Honorable Members can know that the stability that we speak about that needs to be achieved by ensuring that the correct people with the correct skills are in place is being implemented. There are several other positions that we have advertised that we are in the process of recruiting, but we just wanted to show you that the promise that we made earlier when we met, that by the time we see you again, we would have appointed these people, has also been achieved. Chair, before I hand over to the CFO and the CEO to continue with the presentation, I would just like to add that you did mention in your introduction remarks when you welcomed us that we are an entity that does not have a very good reputation. We are an entity that its image is not good, not only to key stakeholders such as yourself, but also to the public. And without being defensive, Chairperson and Honourable Members, I would also like to add that we are the only entity that has had to, in the last financial year and a little over, to bring to conclusion three sets. of annual reports. When we were appointed as a board, there were two previous years that had not been concluded. The annual reports had not been presented. We had to start by fixing that old past first. And where we stand now, we are on track in terms of compliance, only because we have had to bring those up to speed. So going forward, Honorable Chair, we should not be dealing with any backlog in terms of compliance and reporting to the portfolio committee. And as we go through the presentation by the CEO and the CFO, we will get to a stage where we start telling you about the turnaround and the efforts we are putting into place. The appointment of these executives is going to make a very deep impact on the culture change at BRASA. BRASA is an entity that has been operating where people are not really worried about doing their job and doing it properly. We have experienced it as a board. We have found that people just don't care. The work ethic is not good. And we have appointed people that will introduce a new work ethic where people are responsible and accountable for the work that they do. And if they really don't want to do the work, then they should say if they don't want to be in the entity. So if you can allow me through you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, to hand over so that we may then continue with the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. May I recognize all the members of honorable members of the committee and the members of the board present. In the last 8 years, BRASA has not been able to reach at least 60% of its performance target. Of course, if you look at our performance in this financial year, it slightly improved from the previous year. But still that performance is not good enough. Only during the financial year 2015-16 did BRASA exceed 50% of its predetermined objectives by meeting 65% of its performance targets. The fact that BRASA still performs below 60% against the objectives remains a worrying factor to all of us, and we are working day and night to making sure that we turn the entity around. And in the 2018-19 financial year, we performed at the level of 26%, and even though this was better, as I've indicated earlier, than 2017-18, where only 21% of the objectives were met. It's no reason for us to celebrate that slight improvement, but we do record it. This suggests that BRASA continues to offer a service that's poor and unreliable. Overall, the customer satisfaction rating, where BRASA has only scored 48.1 4.11 across the business compared to 56 in the previous year, shows that the trend has been that shows that the performance is poor. During this financial year, the inability of the business to meet its objectives, particularly in the area of rail, which is the core business of Trasa, was mainly due to three key reasons that are cited in the presentation, and they are particularly the availability of the train sets, the coaches that are out of service, and the vandalization of the infrastructure, particularly cable theft and trains that are satellite, which contributes negatively to coaches that are availability. We lost two coaches yesterday here in the Western Cape. And this is part and parcel of the challenges that we are facing on a daily basis. Consequently, the poor performance is reflected in fare revenue that is collected for the year ending March 2019. Both the commuter and the long-distance passenger rail and the bus service have not met its targets that was set at 2.9 billion. The total fare revenue collected for the 18-19 period amounted to 1.5 billion and a 15.9% below budget. In response to the above issues, PRASA has to contend with one particular key question, and that question is, how does PRASA plan on working towards retaining existing customers while striving to recover lost customers? The current state of the business and the organization's failure to deliver on its primary mandate to ensure that the rail ultimately becomes the backbone of the public transport and the mode of choice now informs PRASA's get on track turnaround for execution for this, the next financial year. The turnaround strategy of PRASA is also assisted by the work that we are currently driving in the business. And the work in the war room focuses on giving life to the strategy through improving service performance for both the commuter and passenger services. The entire organization has been mobilized around these three key areas. They are service recovery, safety management, and the acceleration of capital program. These are the key areas that are going to be used as levers to implement the turnaround strategy of the business, to ensure that we improve the on-time performance of our trains, to ensure that we reduce train cancellations, to ensure that the reliability of infrastructure and assets is attained, ensuring the safety of our passengers, public and staff is attained, protecting infrastructure and assets, as well as fast-tracking the modernization program as I've cited earlier. We are focused in restoring customer confidence and ensure that we implement the modernization program of the business. At this point in time, Chair, allow me to call upon the CFO to deal with the perspective on finance performance.
Thank you, CEO. Good afternoon, Chairperson and honourable members, the board, the colleagues, and colleagues from AG as well. I'm going to take you through the financial performance of PRASA for 2018-19 financial year. This is to give you a summary of performance, financial performance. From revenue perspective, which is 13.1 billion in the current financial year that we are reporting on, has decreased from 2018 financial year by 4%. And the main contributor of this decrease has been on the fare revenue by 16%. And one would ask why such a significant decrease. This is as a result of the loss in service that the CEO has indicated when he was doing his presentation. We are not able to provide adequate service to our customers, and where we are able to provide service, there's leakages in terms of revenue. However, there are various steps that we are taking to ensure that this 16% decline is being addressed. I'll go into details in terms of how our revenue is comprising of, so that the members can have a perspective of how the revenue of PRASA is. In addition to that, we had a decline, an increase in expenditure of 21% from previous year to the current financial year. And that is mainly because of the operating expenses that are increasing, and as the CEO has indicated, we know that those operating expenditures are increasing in a far proportion than the subsidy that we are receiving as PRASA. In addition to the increase in expenditure, we had to impair the advance payment that we have made to Shifambo. I think the honorable members will recall that actually PRASA took the matter to court, and the matter was ruled in PRASA's favor, where Shifambo had to refund PRASA the money. However, Shifambo has filed for liquidation, and from accounting point of view, we have to recognize in the asset what is probable to be recovered. So at this point in time, we cannot say that what is left is about 500 million is going to be recovered or not. At the end of each financial year, we have to do an assessment based on accounting standards to determine whether it's still that 500 million or not. The employees' cost has reduced by 5%. I think this is a contentious issue in the SOE. But in terms of PRASA, this should give the members comfort to say that though it's seen as a significant portion of our expenditure, but it has not really been increasing significantly. It has actually reduced. You'll see at a later stage when I'm giving you perspective of our expenditure. The decline in revenue and the increase in expenditure has led to a deficit of 1.7 billion in the current financial year. And from asset point of view, from balance sheet point of view, as we all know that PRASA is a highly capital intensive organization, so its asset base will invariably be high. And it has indeed increased by 7% from the previous year. And that is just a result of the unspent capital expenditure that I will talk about at a later stage. So this slide is where I indicated to the members that I will give you perspective of how the revenue for PRASA is made up of. You will see the brown is the operational subsidy that we are receiving, and the blue is the CAPEX subsidy that we are receiving. The light blue is the fare revenue that I was talking about. The fare revenue decline did not just happen in one financial year. Members can see, I don't know what happened now. We'll just go to the paper presentation. Oh, okay, thank you. So members can see that the decline has been happening over time, but with the work that we are doing currently, we're trying to rescue this situation here. And for us, the intention is not just to rescue the situation for this current financial year only, but it's to going forward as well, to ensure that we provide our people the service that they're supposed to be getting, and that will increase the fare revenue. We secure our stations, and we make sure that our people are secured as well. That will bring the revenue up. Thank you. This is the expense perspective of PRASA. This line shows the personnel costs. So as you can see, this line has really fairly been consistent over time. So in terms of PRASA, we can actually, without fear of contradiction, to say that there has not been any significant jump in terms of our personnel costs. The operating costs, however, as you can see, it has been going up, I guess, with in line with what is happening. And the Shifambo, you can see, is the one that is giving that ramp up there. And obviously, the green line above is the depreciation and amortization that we have assets, so we have to impair those. From the balance sheet point of view, as I've indicated, you see that they, under total assets, there is an amount of capital subsidy that we have received that we have not been spending rapidly. But as indicated, there are processes in place. In the war room, there are three streams that have been put in place. One of them is for accelerating capital spending. The initiative that we are embarking on to ensure that we recover service, to ensure we protect our assets and our people, will actually lead into spending, moving money from cash to assets. So even next year, you still see this bigger, being higher, but the difference next year, hopefully, will be that it's moved from cash but into our property, plant and equipment, which will be representative of our rolling stock. Our liabilities are sitting at, they have increased by 14%, and I think when the chair made her opening remarks, she indicated that we have been having cash flow challenges that have been built, that have built up over time, but it's something that we are working on with our mother department and the board and everybody else to ensure that we restore financial sustainability within Prasa. And then that has led to the net asset decrease of 7%. I just want to say to the members that all is not lost. The chair has indicated the highlights in terms of stabilizing the organization. The reason why we are all here is to ensure that we bring Prasa, and I think even the chair of the committee, when he made his opening remarks, he said he wanted to be part of those people that have moved Prasa from where it is currently to a better place. So we are all aligned in terms of that. So I've already indicated about the our situation of payables, our liabilities, where we are experiencing cash flow constraints and the continuous fair revenue decline, which we are, however, addressing. The capital funds that we are not spending, which we are going to be spending based on the initiatives that we have put in place, and irregular expenditure, which has been a problem, and we are also addressing that. There are measures in place that are being taken to ensure that those regular expenditures are, people that incur regular expenditures are held to account. Also, we have fruitless expenditure. Together with the irregular expenditure, measures are being taken to ensure that we are taking steps to ensure that we don't have recurrence of those. In terms of the nature of our business, we have a potential contingent liability of 3 billion. This is not like the liability for Prasa. As people are getting injured, etc., they put claims against us, but these matters are all being defended, so it's not like Prasa is just going to surrender and pay all this amount of money. From audit outcome point of view, we have received a disclaimer audit opinion, and it's something that we are definitely not proud of, and we are working very hard to ensure that we are addressing it. There were material findings that the AG have raised in terms of our audit of performance. They've also raised issues of internal control weaknesses and compliance, and a number of irregularities in the procurement space, and management and the board is in the process of putting the action plan to address all those weaknesses that have been raised by AG. It's not only those weaknesses that are raised by AG, by the way, we also are identifying weaknesses on a day-to-day basis, and we are putting measures in place to ensure that those are being addressed. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, CFO. Chair, I think we are now moving to the part of the presentation where we present the performance against the predetermined objectives. In the document, it's on page 17, or it's slide number 17.
Thank you, honourable members, the board and colleagues. As the group CEO and also the chair of the board indicated, our achievement is not too good and it's been going down. If you look there, this year it's 26% versus the 21% of last year. And if you look at the performance for the Prasa entity, you can see Interside achieved the indicator. It was just one indicator. The group is quite poor at 25%. Technical achieved half of the indicators. And rail, the core of our business, only achieved 14. If you look at the performance of our rail services, if you look at the engineering side, the rolling stock and the infrastructure, where we haven't achieved a number of our indicators, zero in the rolling stock and three, or one in the infrastructure not achieved, those are leading indicators for what is going to happen in the rail operation. That I think is a good or that is a good indicator that the train operations didn't achieve their target, operational safety didn't achieve their target, and protection services, we had one indicator that was achieved. Just note, it's not measuring of the number of incidents, but it's the number of incidents that caused train delays. And then the non-performance of rail operations really leads to the patronage and fare increase, fare revenue that cannot be achieved. These things are directly correlated. Just go back one. And improvement of the rail system performance will lead to the improvement in customer experience. However, in our case, because our radar fares that's going on here has not led to improvement in customer experience and the customer satisfaction index. If we look at our CAPEX spend, that as our CFO has also indicated, our CAPEX utilization spend is made up of modernization of our rail system, where we've not achieved any of our indicators, the expansion of projects, rail expansion projects that we haven't achieved, also not to improve the system performance in terms of station and workplace improvements was not achieved, and exploiting assets to generate revenue, the station upgrade program didn't achieve. These are all capital programs and capital money that's been used, but only the general overall program where we've achieved the number of coaches that we wanted to overall. And then lastly, there's the other indicators. If we look at Autopass performance, we looked at the Autopass patronage and we didn't achieve that. If we look at the realignment of support functions, our operating expenditure, that is before the amortization and depreciation, we've achieved a slight decline. Our ECM policy and framework was approved as indicated by the chairperson, but we didn't do an integrated procurement and contract management function. Also exploiting the assets, the income from real estate, that is our corporate real estate solutions division, did not achieve the income, but the property construction with a private developer from Intersite was achieved.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. That brings us to the end of our presentation. Chair, before we take questions from yourself, Giyabes Mbane has just joined us. She is the newly appointed Chief Procurement Officer.
Gia, if you can show yourself there.
Thank you, Chair. We just would also like to tender apologies on behalf of Director Saluba, who is out of the country, and Director George, who is also attending to a portfolio committee where he is employed at SAUGA. And Director Doris has to leave after this presentation, which means she would not be able to attend the Autopex and the Intersite AGM, but will remain here for the full BRASA presentation and questions and answers. Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Member.
Congratulations, dear. So, in the main, women empowerment, 3 out of 3. That's serious. Yeah, no, that's serious. Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson and your team. Members, let me see members who want to speak. We shall use the same principles as before.
Let's start here.
Yes, sir. Okay, you want my mic?
Get that one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I was excited, Chair, that the
director of procurement wasn't here because we really needed to buy a lot of stuff. So I was excited in a way that she wasn't here. Thank you for the presentation. Good to see everybody again. And yes, on a rather serious note, I think it's the first full year that the board has been at work, if I may put it that way, in that a lot of positions were not filled, and this is the first year where they've then managed to work together for a full year. However, it's sad to, in a way, see the results, because even though this is the first year that the board has been working together, the annual report not being submitted, and then after being submitted, acknowledging the fact that it's actually not a good report, it's a bad report, it's not a good result, with worse outcomes in comparison to even the year before you worked for a full year together as a team. We've had a better report, and the year before that, it was a report with better outcomes. So rather disappointing then to be presented with a report where there was a big expectation of things to generally improve, but then more specifically the current situation is that again passenger trips have been hugely in decline, and I would like to know how you're going to turn that around, because we've had 634 million passenger trips in 2010, which has declined to around 200 million passenger trips in 2018-19, which is a 67% drop, decrease, 67% decrease in passenger trips. It needs serious intervention, and again, I'm asking you to explain the plan, explain the strategy. How are we going to turn that around? In terms of fleets of Metrorail, we're under half of the total fleet in operation. In operation with Metrorail, we've got 4,566, and operational we've got 2,058, and as you said, two down with yesterday's incident, so 2,500 are out of operation. What is the plan to get those coaches that are out of operation into operation? Or is it your plan to leave them out of operation and wait for the new trains? What is the plan? What is the strategy around that? Then when we get to the experience which commuters have to deal with on a daily basis, and I'm going into the security zone. 27% of the security cameras on the 181 stations are not working. So it's one out of every three security cameras are not working. Why can't this be a priority? And then I'm asking you, how do you justify all of this against a budget where 3 billion rand had to be taken out of your hands and given to Sanral, as if there's nothing to do with funding, with nothing to do with budget. I'm looking at your report and your operational challenges where you say the entity is experiencing a severe cash constraint. I would suggest that it be replaced with an expenditure inability, based on the fact that 3 billion rand had to be taken out of your budget to somewhere where it could have been, could be utilized. Chair, I'm disappointed with where we are, given the fact that this is the first year that this board has been working together for a full year, with worse outcomes than what we've seen when reports were not submitted and late submitted. So in comparison, over the past 3 years, this is the worst outcome that we've seen, contrary to what we expected. And I must concur with what previous Minister of Transport said in April this year, when he said that something much more drastic needs to be done. And with that, which probably relates more to comments than to questions, but if you could react to those comments in just saying, I hear what you say, but this is the plan, this is the strategy. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, mine is just so I want to find out about the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Do you have any plan or mechanism to deal with this wasteful expenditure? And I want to find out about your consequence management you have in place. And the other one, Chairperson, is the one of vandalism of courses. We have a plan because most of your courses are being vandalized. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just add RSR now. RSR put it that way about 3,990 occurrences. And then in those occurrences, if you share, I just want to get my notes here. So there were 2,990 operational occurrences, and among those there were 375 fatalities, and as a result there were also 2,660 injuries as a consequence. And this is also tied into manual trade authorization as part of the incidences as well. But now, majority of those occurrences, RSR is shifting the blame to the operators, mainly being Prasa and Transnet, but majority of them fall within the scope of Metro Rail, but by default a Prasa. So now, because the question that we put to RSR was, what is it that we are doing to prevent occurrences, injuries, deaths on our trains or along the train platforms or on the platforms? And the response that we got was, it is not our job to ensure that the railway is safe. Ours is to do a regulatory framework. The safety of it all lies with the operator. The same question is going to be put to Prasa now. The CEO says that the rail network, some of the incidences that occur, or some of the loss that occurs, it is because the rail network is not covered. That's what the CEO was saying now. But then now, what are the measures that we are putting in place to ensure that the safety of our commuters is paramount? The safety of our commuters is sacrosanct. To a point where the chairperson was speaking about a huge decline in commuter confidence in the service that you provide. We are reporting in your finances that you had a 504 million rand dip in revenue, but also you have a 504 million rand dip in revenue, but then you are having a 245 million rand increase in expenditure in terms of employee costs. And also now, let me ask, employee cost is a very broad term. Within employee cost, there's a lot of key cost drivers as well within that. For instance, remuneration falls under employee cost. Executives being here, giving us a presentation would also fall under employee costs, because as an executive you are an employee, you're coming to Parliament to account and execute your duties, but your hotel stay and meals or transport, everything else is also part of that 245. Now that's it is categorized as a 5% increase. It's a business model that will not work. It can't work. Can't have a 504 million rand dip in revenue, but the expenses increase almost 50% from the dip in revenue that we're having. Now, two questions. One, the mechanisms that you're putting in place to ensure that the railway commuters are safe, but also the net promoter scores that you are getting from the commuters, of which the way that they communicate is to ditch your service in such a way that your revenue then dips. If there's an uptake in the net promoter scores of the service that you provide in line with the service standards of any other transport mode, then you would see your revenue actually increasing. So the best way that they communicate is to actually move away from the service. What is it that you're putting in place, or measures that you're putting in place, that would see your commuters coming back to using the service that you're providing? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the board for the presentation. I have some questions and some comments. What were the costs incurred with the court case relating to the RSR that you have said Prada has spent? And on that, I also wanted to say that, you know, if this was the aviation industry, Prada would have been grounded. It's strange that when somebody takes a regulator to court to stop them from suspending your permit because of safety issues, when people are dying in our country, ordinary poor citizens that rely on transport to get to work are dying. But the company that's supposed to take them from A to B safely is taking the regulator to court. It's a very sad day. Because the regulator is in place to make sure that you comply to rules and regulations and safety standards so that people are safe when they go to work. You have the same issue with Autopax and Translux. Those buses are in atrocious state. Some of them are over 900,000 kilometers and they've not been serviced regularly. More people are going to die, and it's going to be huge costs, in legal costs, because of inability of Prada to make sure that their entities, their own subsidiaries, make sure that the safety standards are met. I would also like to know how much money was spent on consultants and or consulting services. And of the procurement with Prada, how much of the money that you spent on procurement have been spent to previously disadvantaged communities and suppliers? And how far are you regarding the RSR court case in complying with all the issues that were raised by the rail safety regulator? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to ask clarity-seeking questions. And I think that when I don't have the slide number, but there's an issue around unspent capital grant that I might have missed the details on. That pushed up stated assets by 7%. And I was also confused by the employee costs, where the item is said to have moved up to 45 million, but the signaling symbol depicts a drop in employee costs. So if you were to look at it from face value, you would think employee costs dipped by 5% and not increased by 5%. There are also a number of issues that the Auditor General raised in respect of some of the issues the AG determined to be problematic
with prayer. And I would also want to get some form of clarity from Brother about it. There's an issue of an accumulated surplus that the AG spoke on. The issue of the management and or curbing or eradication of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And I want to also ask on the issues raised around procurement and contract management, why is it that there is challenges to adhere to legislation where that is concerned? And what are the material issues that causes I will just say blatantly the disrespect of legislation around procurement and contract management. And I will just pause there for now.
Thank you, Chair. Law and order must play a major role in the future of PRASA. The most important thing is the safety of passengers. PRASA needs policemen on trains, and it's the responsibility of PRASA or the South African police. How can we, as the Transport Committee, help you? Because there's no other way. Without the necessary safety, nobody will travel with trains. Then, without enough trains, you can't make money. But I was really surprised to visit the factory in Nigel. Do you think that's the answer for the future of the public transport in South Africa? Do you think you will manufacture more than enough trains? Thank you.
Thank you. We got the auditor's report today, and it was solely based on your performance. I'm going to comment on the 2018-2019 report, which is during your term. And on comparing it to the last 3 years, the last 2 years that you mentioned that you were busy with, you had to bring it up to date. There is a qualified audit, but yours was even worse, with a disclaimer. And other areas of concern that were raised by the Auditor General was the non-compliance of procurement and contract management, material mismanagement, unauthorized and wasteful expenditure, consequence management not complied with, and revenue management. And then there was a recommendation that intervention is required in proper record keeping, monthly control, review and monitor, compliance and risk management. Now, what I would like to know, what mechanisms have you put in place since you came into office in order to address the concerns that were raised in the previous audit that you had to deal with when you came into office? Your core business is to move people, but I don't get a proper strategy as to how you are going to deal with the challenges that you are facing in PRASA in terms of dealing with the safety, in terms of dealing with reliably efficient public transport. And then the last question that was also raised by one of my colleagues, the amount that is spent on consultants, if you can sort of give us a breakdown, and how much of that was spent on privileged and disadvantaged people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Professor, for the report that we have tabled. It was short and to the point. What we need from you is value for money. Don't you have a system in place to protect all that you have mentioned in your document? For instance, the assets that belong to the South Africans as in the past, where Railway Plaza today was seen as an asset to government and the people of South Africa. is your board equal to the task and elected according to openness, free and fair, and are members of the board qualified to run the entity? If yes, why are we in this mess? you mentioned, CFO, that you are unable to provide service to our customers, your customers. How are you going to improve on this? Is there any mechanism in place you intend to put in place? Are you going to be able to pay insurances that are you going to be able to pay the insurance claims that has increased by 843 million during the financial year 2018-2019? Who are your shareholders? I don't want you to mention them by name. The people that you are doing business with, are they black or white? Are they South Africans or are they Asians? In simplicity. And that is the last question. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Should I respond?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to respond to, maybe I should say, the strategy type macro questions and hand over to the CEO and the CFO and to respond to the operational questions. And this leads me to perhaps the last question that was asked about the board running PRASA. The board does not run PRASA. PRASA is run by executives. So the board is responsible for the strategy, the direction, and we take full responsibility for that. The board members here, if Chairperson, you would like us to submit CV so that you can see who they are. They are people who are qualified. They are people who have got proven track records where they come from. We cannot go into details of further in terms of appointments and all, because we are appointed by a shareholder. We don't appoint ourselves. There has been a nomination process that has been running, as we are all aware, of a permanent board, and I believe that process will say whether people are qualified or not. But as a chairperson of the board, I can speak on behalf of the board when I say that in across the board, whether it's in human resources, it's in legal, it's in the financial sector, including the transport sector itself, as well as the regulatory experience, you find those people around the boardroom table at PRASA. In terms of, I always seem to overemphasize management stability, but it's very important to put management instability into context. In the reporting period, PRASA had two acting CEOs in the rail division in particular. First, there was one, actually when we were appointed, there was one we had to change, and then we had to change again. That instability is not desirable in any entity, in any company, in any organization. We have advertised
for a permanent CEO in Ray. We have advertised for a permanent CEO in technical and engineering, so that you have the stability and the skill that will ensure that they are running with the strategy, with delivering the service that is supposed to be delivered to our people. PRASA has a history of irregular appointments. When we came to PRASA, we found that investigations had been done on irregular appointments at PRASA, not only of staff members, but also of contractors. The issue of service providers has come across from various members sitting around here. And we had to correct those irregular appointments. One of the key ones is the one on what is normally referred to as the GOs, which are responsible for maintaining the train, for ensuring that they get back on train. I do not exaggerate when I say we have seen instances where trains went in for maintenance and new parts, and next day they are back in the workshop again because of the quality of work that was done there. Some of the contracts that come through and into this financial year in terms of material irregularities that the AG has raised are those contracts. Actually, if there's a flaw, you can say with this board, is that we have not appointed quickly enough. But in terms of major contracts, the contracts that are being made in all the irregularities are not our contracts. So we have not perpetuated the practice of appointing irregular contracts. As we have gone about fixing that system, first by ensuring that the policy is in place, because one of the areas that was identified by the public protector in the derailed report was the supply chain management policy of PRASA. We spent a good deal ensuring that that policy was revised, was rewritten, so that we have an SCM policy now. It was a finding in previous AG reports that there is no SCM policy in place. Now, I think the honorable members will appreciate that without the policy, you cannot procure properly. We also, I have talked about the acting positions. We then had to appoint permanent people into the roles on contract so that they can then run. Kia sitting here is one example of the CPO who will now ensure that this the rest of the department and the rest of the people who are supposed to work in this position are appointed and do their work. During this period, we also advertised two key contracts that have a very big impact on PRASA's operation and PRASA's security, and that is the GO tender as well as the security tender. And those are in process, and we as the board had expected that as we sit here with you, we would say those have been appointed. Unfortunately, because of the inefficiencies in the supply chain system and all that, they still have not been appointed. But we are at a stage where we are expecting that at the next board meeting, those will come to the board for approval so that they can then roll out. So we are the first ones to admit that it has been broken, the system has been broken, and we have spent a lot of time fixing the system so that going forward it gets on track. There is a strategy in place that we did communicate to the portfolio committee with our previous engagement that is called the Get on Track strategy, and we are proceeding with implementing that strategy, which we take full responsibility for as a board. The 3 billion that was taken away from PRASA to SANRAL, I am struggling to find the exact date, but I recall that the minister who expressed disappointment that this had happened was Minister Nzimande. So shortly after Minister Nzimande was appointed and we were appointed, that's when that decision around the 3 billion to SANRAL was taken.
So once again, without trying to be defensive, but this was not done. When we were bringing up to speed the books with Prasa and everything, these are some of the things that were coming through and that we were correcting. I will let the executives respond. Perhaps I should just respond to the RSR question and about Prasa taking the RSR to court at the time. And we did come and report to the portfolio committee on that. It was a very difficult time. Over the years, the RSR has put conditions on Prasa in terms of issuing a new license. So a license is issued annually, and the RSR would have said, these are the conditions that you must meet. We started at the Prasa board in April, and in July, that is when the license was expiring and due for renewal. So we had only been about 3 months at Prasa when the license suspension happened. We had had several meetings with the RSR so that we can be given time to understand and to ensure that we are putting systems and procedures and everything into place. Unfortunately, those did not yield any results. We were faced with having to overnight, because the notice would have come in the evening, and we were to say the very next day, trains should not run. And passengers would arrive at the train stations and find that there were no trains to take them to work. It was on that basis that we had then appealed to the court to allow the RSR to not suspend our license and allow us to operate. We dealt with the RSR in the sense that we were then forced to sit together around the table, and that the new license was issued governed by the conditions that we did report previously, that at least about 80% we had met the 80% we had met the conditions. So I can say that this board has met 80% of the conditions that were set by the RSR in order for them to issue that new license, and we are working very hard to ensure that we meet 100% those conditions. So it was not a decision that was taken lightly. It was not a decision that we just took in defiance just because we can go to court, but it was a decision that was, in our view, was in the best interest of the passenger to ensure that they continue going to work every day. I will ask the executives to respond to the more operational questions.
Thank you, Chair. I trust that as we respond to the questions, it shows that we are, Honourable Hansinger, very concerned about the performance that is reflected in the report, and we are disappointed at that performance. And I think before I say anything, I think it's important to upfront indicate that this team that includes our board members and particularly the executive team is disappointed, and we can assure you that the three reports that were presented that had never been, but the first two, 16, 17, 17, 18, that never had been presented, are going to be part of our turnaround strategy in terms of the plan to deal with those issues. Equally, the questions that members have asked us are also helping us to gaze more sharply into some of the issues. And so they also are part of areas which, besides that we are answering the questions, we need to apply our mind better to ensure that we turn around the results. Allow me to be more specific now in my responses. First, your question is, how do you turn around the decline in the passenger trips? And I think we have had an opportunity at an earlier time when we presented to the portfolio committee, presented how we have structured our war room initiative.
and we went into the detail to try and indicate what we will do about service recovery and what is the content, what are the issues in service recovery that we are focused upon. For example, issues of general overhaul of our coaches, ensuring that in each of our regions we improve all the maintenance environment, so that increasing number of coaches will increase the availability. We have covered in the scope all those issues, but I can assure you now that already the train performance overall has improved. I just want to give you an example that in the last month, we have in the Pina Sport to Pretoria line introduced additional morning peak, in the morning peak new trains. From 22,000, that would be an average number of passengers that we carry in that particular corridor. We have gone up to 50,000 right now. And actually the revenue collected is more than 22% in increase. This is just one corridor, and our approach is to move from one corridor to the other, is to ensure that we are able to demonstrate how we improve by showing in a concrete way in each region, which are firstly our corridors. So in the modernization strategy that we present, we begin to indicate how we are segmenting the entire line. For example, if you go to the South Coast line in KwaZulu-Natal, you look at the Crossmo line, Guamashu, Bridge City line, the South Coast line to Richards Bay, the Northern Coast line to Richards Bay. If you look at all those four key lines in that region, we are able to demonstrate what it is we are doing in each corridor to try and turn things around in the same way as the model that we are presenting for the Gautrain, for Gautrain thing is suggesting that indeed in areas where we have deployed additional coaches, also there are reports of better customer service. To us, we are convinced that this turnaround strategy, which is well documented, we call it a get on track a rescue plan. And we would like at some point to go into detail and engaging on this plan, because to us it is really a detailed plan to turn things around, and it's not all over the place, it's specific. It speaks about what are we going to do in the southern line of Cape Town, what are we going to do in the northern line of Cape Town. You know, in each region we are specific about the corridor. In the Eastern Cape, what are we doing with the PE line? What are we going to do with the East London line? So the turnaround strategy is specific, but when we get into the war room, which is more about what are we going to do in the next few months, not more than 3 months, what it is that we are going to do, we are very specific and detailed in what it is that we are doing in all the regions. We are able to indicate how the three levers that we have identified, and these levers, one I have mentioned and I suggested, it is service recovery, but there is also safety management, because some of the questions which honorable members have asked us are really about safety, because in the last week the minister has actually published the safety report of the RSR, and that report begins to indicate specifically in which areas we are lacking in terms of turning around safety. We think that the issue with safety at PRASA is that the culture itself, the organizational culture, has not been molded in the manner that sees safety as a priority. And because of that reason, we have turned things around in terms of how we structure ourselves. For example, we've got a safety manager, which is the nominated manager who works directly with RSR to ensure that the relationship and the communication in particular between ourselves and the regulator is such that we never go to court because there has been problems. At any time that we have done so in the past, as the chair of the board has indicated, it was always in the interest of the passenger, in our opinion. And we've put this in the public space, and it has been debated. But we are working to ensure that the relationship between ourselves and the regulator is such that we pick up issues early. Those the Board of Inquiry reports that indicate specific concerns of the regulator are dealt with, and consequence management is also applied. Well, the modernization program in particular, because some of the questions are around it, is more about what it is we are going to do to accelerate the capital program of PRASA. And I think this is one important leg and area, you know, in the strategy to turn the business around. But the specific responses are that we are focused on improving on-time performance. And if you look at your slide number 8, we are trying to highlight this, to indicate how we want, how we're going to reduce train cancellations, how we're going to ensure reliability and protect the infrastructure. These are part of the areas of focus in the plan to turn around the business. The rest of the questions you ask about the security cameras that are not working. You know, just to give an example, in the last I think it's about 4 weeks or so, there has been big concerns from our insurers that in one of our depots the cameras were not working. But when we worked to try to see why our cameras not working, we recognized that largely this is about cable theft. You know, and you know that this is an attack not only on PRASA, but it is an attack on almost all state-owned entities. We are complaining about the issue of cable theft. We are hedging up, you know, measures to ensure that we protect our assets, and again, under the safety management area, when you zoom into what it is we're doing, we talk about walling and protecting of the rail precincts to ensure that we put walls in areas where, infiltration into the rail reserves is such that it makes it difficult for our protection services to, secure our, you know, the rail perimeter. We are doing all of that, and we believe that the results are soon going to start telling. Allow me, therefore, Chair, to hand over to the CFO to deal with more financial related issues.
Thank you, CEO. The first question that was asked on employee cost, the personnel cost, thank you for picking that up. It's actually an increase of 5%. Apologies for that. Our employees cost does not include travel and accommodation. That is disclosed separately in our annual financial statement in note 26. That is where you can see all those details. In terms of how much we spend on consultants for 2018-19 financial year, we spent $63 million on our consultants. The amount spent on BEE and previously disadvantaged, I don't have it at this stage, but it's something that we can provide to you at a later stage where we can give you the correct information. I don't want to give you incorrect information. And I think the CEO dealt with the CAPEX. What are we doing to cap fruitless, wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure? I think lots of things, as the CEO and the chairperson have indicated, there's been a deterioration in terms of compliance culture within the organization. That's a fact. And what we are doing is that it's a question of teaching, mentoring, and
applying consequence management, because I do not believe that you can start by applying consequence management without making sure that everybody understands that these are the legislations that you need to comply with. So you start by teaching, mentoring, making sure the policies are there, and holding people accountable. And what are we doing to address and cap irregular expenditure as well? It will be similar to what we'll be doing with the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. How are we protecting our assets? We talk about the war room mostly. There are various strengths in the war room. One of the strengths in war room deals specifically with safety. And the other element of safety is that of our assets. So there is an initiative where there are various security mechanisms that will be applied to ensure that our assets are protected. In addition to that, BRASA has got an insurance program that is put in place, which consists of various insurers. So that is another way of protecting our assets. You asked the question of how are we going to pay insurance claims. As I said, BRASA has got an insurance portfolio program that has insured its assets. Where people are claiming insurance, we don't insure those. We pay them as and when they arise and they become due. We pay it from our cash.
Chair, if I may, through you to the honourable members, I've just picked up maybe one or two questions that were not adequately addressed. The one was around risk management and compliance. We also highlighted this area of risk management as a weakness at BRASA when we were appointed. One of the roles that we have then profiled and developed and have advertised is one of the chief risk officer. That will be a group executive member who will report directly to the CEO and to the Audit and Risk Committee to ensure that the issues of risk at BRASA are properly managed and that a risk culture is introduced at BRASA, because we recognize that it did not exist. There was a compliance manager, but at a level that we believe is not senior enough to be able to deal with it. So this is one of the areas. We ran an interview process for a chief risk officer, and unfortunately the caliber of applicants that came through was not sufficient, so we are going out to headhunt for that, but it is a role that we have put into place and will appoint in the very immediate future. The issue of PDI or empowered companies was raised. In each and every tender or request for quotes that go out, BEE is a requirement. So in terms of qualifying and all those, BEE would be one of the measures that has been put in. Of course, the honorable member may immediately say, oh, but there's already a public case of fronting at BRASA, because those things do happen. But as far as BRASA goes, our policy, and that's why I'm responding to the question, is that it's a policy of BRASA that companies, service providers that are appointed by BRASA are BEE compliant. There was a question, CEO, that I think we should address on the South African police and BRASA's perhaps jointly working, and maybe you can talk on some of the initiatives, but also on the JOC system, that where we work with the police, but also share the concerns around how we can ensure that that is properly run.
Thank you, Chair. I also noted that there's a question on mechanisms to address the concerns on previous audits. And I think this is important because we have submitted three reports in 1 year. And it is important for us to develop a turnaround plan around those management reports that the Auditor General have, not just to focus on this particular report. Work has already been done.
in respect of the two other reports, and we are busy working on the best reports now, and we'll make this part of the turnaround plan for turning the results around. And as the CFO has just confirmed to me that the next executive committee will receive a draft plan for approval. So I think in that regard we are focused. It's our instrument to improve. You know that we are. Chair, the issue that will be definitely the action plan on AG findings going backwards to cover the entire spectrum. Thanks, Chair. The security is really a huge issue. Firstly, our minister has taken interest in to say that you are, for example, we are on the verge of increasing and improving on the current capacity of our protection services. But the issue and the questions that have been asked largely are about what kind of skill set are they bringing? Because we now want our securities to be inside the trains. As you have seen, the design of our new trains requires a different approach, despite the fact that our new trains have got safety features that are world class. But you still need the protection of our clients inside the train. And therefore the skill set is different from that of those who are protecting assets, outside of the trains. And I think because of that reason, we are working together with the transport CETA to assist us with the training, but also the SATS, as the chair has indicated, has availed itself to working with us in the training of the protection services of TRASA. Besides the fact that we also have a discussion and engagement with the SAPS in terms of reclaiming the utilization of our rail police, so that they also improve the capacity, of protection. You have seen in the Western Cape, in Gauteng, the improvement in terms of the number of offenders that are held to account as a result of the use of technology that we have applied in this regard. The prosecution of those that are involved, the indication is that this is the area which we need to strengthen, and we will continuously apprise you, Chair and honorable members, of the progress we are making in this regard. But we are very clear that the open nature of the rail system that has allowed people to move in and out, vandalizing the overhead equipment, the catenary is being vandalized on a daily basis. It requires that we turn it around. We have focused on this in our safety management stream of the war room, and we believe that in the next number of weeks and months there will be results. But the main issue that is going to be the game changer is the current crop of security that we are going to be releasing. The chair has indicated that we are at an advanced stage of finalizing those processes, which are procurement related. Once we are done with those processes, we will have additional capacity, which in collaboration with the partners, as I've indicated, will improve the situation as we know it.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question on AutoPEX, which I believe that first when we're in the AutoPEX session we can address it in detail, but just from the shareholder perspective, as BRASA is the shareholder of AutoPEX, one of the approvals that we did make as this board for AutoPEX was to refresh the engine so that you could have a better fleet, because buses were breaking down
and that's why I say when we have the AutoPEX session, I think the full picture of AutoPEX needs to be explained to the portfolio committee, including the fact that probably for the past, I don't know, as far as AutoPEX existence, there's probably 1 year that AutoPEX has broken even. So the discussion that we are having around the BRASA and the AutoPEX board table is around the very strategy of AutoPEX, what AutoPEX should be, as an example, in order to refresh the whole fleet of AutoPEX, would require at least 1 billion rand. And that is not money that BRASA has at this stage. But further to that, there are issues around the role of AutoPEX, the issues of the Competition Commission that has been raised about the relationship between BRASA and AutoPEX and the Department of Transport. But if I may, with your permission, Honorable MacDonald and Chairperson, is when we are in the AutoPEX session to then go into the detail on AutoPEX and the challenges that we have experienced as a shareholder and perhaps some of the areas of how we believe we should proceed going forward.
Yes, you are granted that permission. Real Chair and your team. I think you have heard from members and the feeling in terms of where you are supposed to be. A bit of a worry, somebody was whispering in my ear that your term is actually coming to an end this month, which may actually be a serious problem going forward, which is not your problem, right? It's a problem that we will take up with the department on Thursday. Because normally if it's this month, there should be indications whether people are being appointed. I agree with an interim board. The fact that we are operating on an interim board, that's actually not overwhelming for governance purposes. We should deal with this interim and acting and all these other issues so that we talk to you as the rightful owner in Praza. So we'll take that matter up with the department. I think you have acknowledged that you are still faced with a lot of challenges. At some point I was taking notes and you have moved from 21 to 26, or here, 21 to 26, which is a very small movement. It's a movement, but it's a very small movement. You must accept one thing, that you have inherited the image of the old trust. If you see 3 billion rent that was let go, as the member is saying, if you see, you will see these people who have to be forced by RSR to comply. I mean, what I find at some point very amazing is how does it happen that professionals appointed in a particular level, like this big executive level or board level, must be reminded of their work? I find it very strange. So, we can't say those things to anybody else but to you, because those people are not yet you who's here. So, my request is that
it should seem to us that until and unless those issues have been properly dealt with and closed, that's your image. Am I right, Honorable Hansinger? That's your image, which is not what it should be. I think I've already congratulated the three officials that you have appointed, because from where I'm seated, I might be creating an impression that I'm a bit soft. But let me tell you where your real problem is. Up until you have appointed fully these positions that you need to appoint, you can't do anything as the board. Now the issue should be, or the question should be, are you willingly not appointing these people but that needs to be appointed? So that we start closing this issue of vacancies and begin to judge you properly. So our request is that let's have a schedule. I think you have given us some schedule of 2, 3 actually. CEOs, 2, and this chief risk officer that you appointed. Maybe give us your roadmap as to when are you going to be a fully fledged entity with executives and everybody that needs to be there. So that when you come back, we are able to say, no, but you said January, and January has passed and you have not done anything. You have said this in August, and August has passed and you have not done anything. I think you've already touched on the issue of your seriousness in considering BEE. I'm not going to ask you a question which I would have asked. You are dealing with billions in your budget, isn't it? When you come back, we are going to ask you a question as to, if you have 18 billion that normally will go into issues of procurement, how much goes to the previous legislature, your transformation issue? And we also like to know, is it taking consideration the geographic situation of the country? You know the issue of Werksman. Werksman is here. He's with you, Werksman. Eh? Werksman, you know the company called Werksman. The people who can work. When are we going to resolve that matter? Because that matter must be resolved. It's an issue that the NG has raised. It's an issue that we must find closure on, like these other, the rest of the issues. I have not met Werksman, but I'm told he's a company of top lawyers. Now, top lawyers must know their way. They must be a situation where you have appointed them for a year and they have done their job and they are gone. Again, if you appoint the service provider, you indicate time frame. Now, they must also have time frame, and if the time frame has been exceeded, we must treat them like everybody else. Otherwise, it will create us problems. If they are going to be needed
we must follow proper channels in dealing with those. I'm just saying, I'm flagging all these matters that I think, as we go back, we should deal with. There was a response by the CFO. I agree with your response that you need to settle in, orientate people in terms of your vision, train them, and if they don't listen, then consequent management will apply. Procedurally, you are right. But in our midst, we have honorable members like Hansinger and Tole, who have been here for quite some time. They understand these things and they are becoming very impatient. When we think we are new, they have raised issues of 3 years. And once they have raised them, we can't ignore them. I'm just saying, in your reasonableness, also take into consideration that if you want to create a story in the Department of Transport, the first entity you must think about is CRASA in the current epoch. So balance the two. Try and move with speed. Because what I like about what you are saying is, don't just patch people. Have a reason why are these people supposed to be get rid of. I support that principle, but it should not be perpetual. Because before we know it, we will all be thinking that this has been dragging on for quite some time. Under normal circumstances, we would have taken a decision that let's send them back, because they now have two reports which are not the same. But I just really want to say, you did indicate well away in Boxbeck. Is it Boxbeck or Pinon? When we came to your place. Nigel, you indicated that you would not be in a position to can present the report in time. It is us, through my persuasion, that I said bring it with all the flaws. Let's have a report to talk to. That was our decision. That this report will come with the flaws, but be seen as willing to be compliant. It is on those bases that I said, okay, let us not also be seen as reneging from our undertaking, so that tomorrow when we make an undertaking, you know exactly that we will follow that undertaking. Otherwise, take decisions where you need to take decisions. There was an issue when we were there of the people who were supposed to move, I think, from other areas, can't just remember, to a new building. We went, it was late at night, and we showed this building and what it can do properly. And we were so excited. And then there was a presentation that these people must move from that area and that area, and there are work relation issues that needs to be resolved. I just hope those issues are being resolved. Because those people have to go to that building and then see Prasa doing its way. The two last issues I really want to talk about. The issue of safety, mm-hmm, in our trains, including the condition of our train. I think this question was asked earlier on, that says there are trains that are still operational in our railway or rail that operate with doors wide open. Let's deal with those issues. If there are challenges, let's share those challenges. Let's know what's happening. So that we close this chapter. One train burnt yesterday here in Western Cape. Under normal circumstances, as a chair, I would have made this meeting very difficult for you, because I would have just made a statement before you come here. Another incident in Western Cape by Prada. So I thought, let me not be seen as opportunistic. Let me raise it with you. That filling in the vacancies so that people can start doing their job. Some of the jobs, it's not you who must do them. But if you have not put people in place that must do those jobs, we'll look to you and say the jobs have not been done. And please do not see us as being reactionary when we do that. Otherwise, we have also seen some slow progress, which we must acknowledge. I'm reluctant to say, commend you all, because I was talking to the office of the AG. We are commending people when they still have these issues to deal with. So I'm reluctant also to use the word commend. We acknowledge that progress moving forward. Communicate as much as you can. Communicate progress, and acknowledge shortfalls where you're falling short. My expectation is that you should give me an indication that you are at 26% in terms of performance. What is your target next year when we meet here and we sit here? You are saying 55, you remember CFO. Present and as a university student yourself, you know what that means when you have achieved 55%. During our time, you wouldn't even be recognized as very close to exemption. So get yourself there with the rest. I think you can get to that level. So we'll monitor you. I think on behalf of the committee, let me stop here and say we are with you up until 10 this evening. So we're going to interact with Intersite. Maybe we can take 3-4 minutes. If they are there, let them come in. Let's deal with them. Thank you. On the process side, thank you. You are released. Intersite. In the next.
Time out.